why do athletes seem to get a little extra something out of life? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with thought for today. Why do athletes seem to get a little bit more out of life than other people do? Well, for one thing, athletes learn how to practice. They learn how to practice whatever it is they choose to do. If an athlete is out for track, he learns how to run. He not only runs, but he learns how to run. And his coach tells him how to put his feet down. His coach tells him how to bend his ankles. His coach tells him how to be on his toes. His coach tells him how to land on the ground like a feather. Yet you're landing with your 200-pound body, and you're landing on the ground like a feather, and you're running like a gazelle. You're just fantastic. But you see, these are all arts. Arts that are learned because the athlete wants to do it. But there's an art that an athlete learns subliminally without realizing that he's learning it. His coach does all sorts of exercises with the student, with the candidate, with the person who's an athlete, and saying to him, now, breathe deep, breathe deep, breathe deep, breathe deep, way down deep, breathe deep, and let it all out, and breathe deep, and let it all out. The coach does not talk too much about breathing, but he has the athlete breathe. When the athlete is running, he's saying, now, breathe in deeply, now you get your second breath, you get your third breath, you have your ability to do this, now pace yourself, breathing, pace yourself, and all of these things are centered around breathing, much to the surprise of the athlete himself, because he thinks that he's learning how to run. He thinks he's learning how to move his legs. He thinks he's learning how to hold his body. He thinks he's learning how to pace himself as to run. But what the coach really is teaching him, and what all coaches have taught from the beginning of time, is to breathe. To breathe rhythmically. To breathe deeply. To breathe beneficially. Because most of us, unfortunately, do not breathe beneficially. We breathe just to take air in and just to let it out. We don't go down deep into our solar plexus. We don't move into our diaphragm with our breath so that it pumps it deeply into us. The great musicians, the great singers, the great opera stars, all of them can sing and sing and sing and sing and sing, and you say, my goodness sakes, don't they ever get tired? Don't they ever get worn out? Are their voices ever losing their tenor, losing their ability? Well, whenever a singer or a performer of any kind has their voice fade away, they're not breathing right. They're not breathing deeply, sincerely, and beneficially. There are many schools that teach breathing. There are many groups over in China and over in India and over in Italy. Yes, Italy, because that's where they have these grand opera teachers, a great deal of them. And all around the world, wherever people are really learning how to get the most out of life, they're learning how to breathe. Now the doctor says to the woman who is about ready to have a baby, now breathe deep, and breathe deep, breathe deep, breathe deep, now breathe deep, now breathe deep, now breathe deep. And as the woman breathes deep, her body seems to perform the wonderful miracle of bringing forth the child in a very harmonious way. And there's no pain, and there's no feeling of unhappiness. But when a woman tenses up, when her muscles all get tense, and she's not able to move the child out smoothly and perfectly, then pain comes, then unhappiness comes. And this is just part of the way it is in life. When a little child is crying, and the mother says, "There, there, now all," and she calms the child down to breathe normally. And the child stops its hyperventilation and stops its hyperbreathing and begins to breathe normally and sobs and a deep breath and a deep sigh and a deep, deep sigh and a deep, deep sigh. Remember that? Deep, deep sigh. Those deep sighs, we think, oh, that's an emotional thing. No, that's a human bodily thing. It's letting the body become, once again, its peaceful self. It's letting the body breathe and harmoniously respond to its normal pattern. All of us, as we go through life, if we run a little bit, we sometimes think we can't run any further, but if we have a reason to run, we pace ourselves and we jog along, and we run very nicely, and we run very positively. A jogger is not someone who gets tired. He's not someone who loses his breath. They say that you should go for a walk. And as you go for a walk, you should walk vigorously enough so that you accomplish something, and walk vigorously enough just to the point where you can still hold a conversation. And when you can still hold a conversation, then your concentration is not on your you're breathing in and breathing out, but your concentration is on your speaking. And you walk quickly enough so that you can keep this pace, and you can train your body to cause the air to go in and out in a harmonious way. Breathing is something so tremendously important, and it's given so little attention by the world at large, because we do things naturally, we do things normally, we do things harmoniously, we do things without thinking about it. The artist, the singer, the athlete, they too do things without thinking about it. They're not thinking about their breath, they're just breathing, but they have learned how to breathe. Perhaps not consciously learned. Their coaches didn't say, "This is how we breathe now." The coach could say that, but normally they don't. And the coach just says, "Now, take your breath, listen, now walk." And he diverts your attention from thinking about breathing to breathing. And by the time you are done with a competent coach and a competent session, you are breathing beautifully and deeply and harmoniously, and your air is going down deep, and your diaphragm is flipping it back and forth, and your lungs are fully expanding and fully releasing. You're breathing in the air and out the air. One of the most important things in the conduct of the body, in the conduct of an atom, in the conduct of anything, anywhere, is oxygen. Oxygen is necessary for the body, for the cells, for the atoms, for everything to function. Oxygen is necessary. Now, how do we get the oxygen in? Well, the oxygen is mixed in the air that we breathe. If we were truly to breathe pure oxygen, we'd burn out our lungs, we'd burn out our body. But the oxygen comes in whatever manner we can handle it. Now, the deeper we learn to breathe, the more beneficially we learn to breathe, the more we learn to walk up and down hills and do the long laughing, do the cross-country skiing type of thing with poles and walking along, we are getting our body framed up to do beautiful things. In Europe, in Switzerland especially, they have these contests where they take 10,000 people, can you imagine that? And have them go across the country, and they have them go across in segments. And they're timed. And as they're timed, they move, and they move their legs, and they move their arms, and they move their head, and they move their body. And when they're done, they don't fall over into a collapsed, worn-out heap. They just stand there triumphant in their beautiful walking, in their beautiful skiing across the hills, mainly the plains and the valleys of Switzerland. And they do it at all ages, and they do it with great skill. They are trained. They go to special schools where they learn how to do this. Now, what kind of bodies are these people going to have who take this training? They're going to have bodies that are lithe and active, and they have bodies that learn how to breathe. They think they're learning how to walk, they think they're learning how to pace themselves, they think they're learning how to do all these things, but what they're really learning how to do is they're learning how to breathe. In every area of life, when we learn how to breathe, we are master of whatever circumstances it may be. When something goes wrong in our life, we take a deep breath. Now, let's see, what should I do? Or we, what should I do? And when you're in a panic, hysterical state, you're not in control of your breathing. You're not in control of anything. You're just out of control. And because you're out of control, you benefit nothing to yourself or anybody else. It's only when you are under controlled breathing, when you use your breathing to its highest and best, the more oxygen you can bring into your lungs, the more that your body is going to perform in a more perfect way. If you have any problems in your body, if you can breathe deeply and learn how to breathe deeply, not hyperventilate, that means to breathe, you just learn to breathe deeply and consistently and powerfully into your lungs, into your body, into your being, so that you have the most powerful way of living. The great athletes are the ones who have learned how to breathe. The great swimmers, they really pour it on. And they just go back and forth as though it's nothing at all, and it is nothing at all, because they have harmonized themselves with their lungs, they have harmonized themselves with their breathing, they have harmonized themselves with their purpose and their direction. Runners, people who play tennis, people who play golf, people who play all the physical games of life. Now, one of the most wonderful physical games of life is living. And as we can learn how to live, as we can learn how to, every single moment of our day, breathe deeply and positively and joyously, as we live in that magical way of being, of just saying, I like me, oh, I like me, I like me, oh, I like me, and breathing deep. And you say, that doesn't fit. Well, no, it doesn't fit because you're not used to doing it. But make it fit. Practice breathing in deep every moment you can. And also breathing out. Now, you can breathe in through your nose and out through your nose and in through your nose and out through your nose, and that's perfectly right, because that's what your nose is designed for. Your nose is designed for breathing. Your mouth is not designed. You're not supposed to be breathing in through your mouth, because when you breathe through your mouth, you hyperventilate and you do not have perfect control of the air that comes into you. When you breathe through your nose, both in and out, you are doing the most beautiful thing you can do for your body, because your nose is what is supposed to bring the air in. It has filters in it that keeps out those particles of dust and what have you that are not beneficial to the body. They are, your nose is there with a purpose. Now, as we breathe in deeply with our nose, we find that our whole chest and our whole body and our shoulders lift up. Everything about us just peaks into a beautiful, magical performance. Learning how to breathe is something that we think we all know how to do, because that's just what you do. But the athlete learns how to breathe, and he becomes a more efficient athlete. The operatic star learns how to sing deep into their lower, their complete lungs. They use all the air and all the magic about them. And they're the great ones. And they're the tireless ones. And people who are indefatigable, people who never tire. They're the people who have learned how to breathe. They're the people who pace themselves. They're the people, when they feel tense, they start to breathe deeply and change that tenseness to a harmony. Change tension to harmony. If we could just all do that, we would find that the greatest killer on earth, tension, would cease to have any hold on us anymore. And we wouldn't have to die. We could just continue living our beautiful, fabulous lives in a beautiful, fabulous way. If you're ready for this, it's ready to be learned. Oh, we learn it from all sorts of ways, and people bring it to our attention in all sorts of manners that we are very surprised to realize. But whenever you're given an opportunity to learn how to breathe, to learn how to utilize your body to its highest and greatest potential, whether it's on the golf course, whether it's on the tennis court, whether it's in the athletic field, or whether it's in the yogic field, or whatever other types of fields there are that teach you how to breathe and how to benefit from these things, take advantage of it. A moment spent in doing this brings results that are utterly amazing. And sometimes it comes from the most unusual sources. It comes from a child who comes running into his mother and says, "Mother, guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what?" And the mother says, "No, calm down. What is this you have to tell me?" "Well, can you guess, Mama? Can you guess?" "Well, I have no idea what you're talking about now." "Just calm down now. Take a deep breath." "That's the way now. Okay. Well, you know, Mom, I was teaching Rex how to sit up. And Rex was sitting up. And then I said, 'Rex, walk.' And he stood up on his back feet and he walked. My dog walked, Mom. Guess what, my dog?" Well, such deep breathing, such deep joy, such magic that comes through sharing things of that nature. It takes our breath away, as we say. It causes us to consider, reconsider, and live in a new vibration. So today, breathe deep. Use your nose in and out. Breathe deep. Not quickly and fast, not overdoing it, but just breathe deep as though you're breathing in the most precious thing in the world, and truly it is, for oxygen makes the world go round, and that's the only way you're going to get it, and that's the only way I'm going to get it. So join me in breathing through your nose today, in and out, and having a more beneficial, positive, healthy life, wealthy, friends everywhere, in a pure, ideal spirit, mind, and body. I love you. I love you. I love you.